This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. And we've got two chapters of The Star Seeds of Earth on this episode. Alibi Jones is on the planet Earth. He's not supposed to be. He's not what you'd call exactly persona grata there, you know? But he's on his way out. He's trying to get off planet and escape. Off the Vermont mountainside where he's been. He was actually under the mountain talking to a being that called itself the Archmage. Mind to mind. So now he's trying to make his way back to the Hornet's Nest. First stop, what used to be the old Logan Airport. Well, I mean, it's still Logan Airport now, but, well, you know, in Alibi's time. You got it. Well, that's chapter 13. And chapter 14? We'll go back to the Hornet's Nest. We'll get there before Alibi does. And there's been romance in the air. Kind of that opposites attract thing happening between Anita, Alibi Jones on Anita Capituna, and William Gentry, the godfather of the Depot Fringe. Yeah, there's something about powerful people. They say power is an aphrodisiac. I've heard that somewhere anyway. That's coming up in just a minute, because actually I don't have that much book news right now as we make our way through this November. Just celebrated my birthday and Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving if you celebrated. 56 years old now, November 25th, 1965, and still going. Beats the alternative. But now as we're heading towards the holiday season, if you're looking for gifts for folks, maybe thinking about supporting small businesses or independent artists, I would love it if you could pick up one of my books or my calendars and gift it along. Earlier this summer, right at the beginning of the summer, Memorial Day weekend, I put out the Adventures of Alibi Jones Chronological Omnibus. So that's out there. That's 819 pages and has all of the Alibi Jones stories and novels under one cover, including this one, The Star Seeds of Earth. There's also the 15th anniversary edition of Vatican Assassin that came out a year ago. That's available in paperback. You can find out more about those at my website at glowinthedarkradio.com. And of a non-science fiction nature, I'm a photographer, an explorer of sorts as well, you know, as doing this stuff. And I've been taking photos for the last couple of years. I've put together a few calendars, four calendars, featuring my photos. And you can find out more about those at glowinthedarkradio.com. Or even glowinthedarkradio.com/calendars. Well, as I said, not a whole lot to tell you about as far as book news goes this week. So we'll get into chapters 13 and 14 of The Star Seeds of Earth, next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Are you having trouble keeping up with the ebbs and flows of modern geekery? Is the real world holding you back from knowing what is happening in the geeky world? To answer these and other personal problems brought in by your friends, gaming group, and loved ones, Geek Radio Daily presents daily informational sessions brought to you by the wonderful Billy Flynn, the Flynnstress, and podcasting's Rich Siegfried. They contain such helpful segments as history, geek birthdays, box office results, the latest in DVD and Blu-ray, video game and comic releases. Why, they also have a weekly show hosted by the wonderful Billy Flynn and the Flynnstress, which includes interviews and commentary. And to make sure you are informed, Geek Radio Daily also provides you with your daily dose of geek news to make sure you know more than that jerk know-it-all Steve. Visit us at geekradiodaily.com. That's right, Geek Radio Daily. All the geek without the weight. Now available in fine Corinthian leather.
And now, here's Chapter 13 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi pulled back behind the trees and watched as two figures dressed in safe uniforms emerged from the covered bridge, talking. They are here. I need to be gone. Find my travel cube and get going home. Alibi crept into the woods, back uphill. When he felt he was out of earshot of the safe troops, he made for the river's edge. There, he took off his boots and socks, rolled up his pants, and stepped carefully across to the other side, using rocks and fallen trees to keep from getting in too deep and completely soaked. After putting the river between himself and the safe troopers, Alibi put his boots and socks back on. With wet pants but dry footwear, he started back along the river, past the bridge. Alibi stayed under tree cover as he continued to work his way towards Dunstan's Gore, keeping alert for any safe troopers as he walked into town. There were a few other travel cubes parked at the Everything Store hub when he arrived the day before. He'd pulled into a three-day spot. It was only day two.
Should still be there, waiting.
It wasn't rented in his name. Hopefully the safe hadn't yet figured out it temporarily belonged to Alibi Jones.
Could be as simple as walking up, jumping in, and flying away. Wouldn't that be nice?
As he arrived in Dunstan's Gore, Alibi discovered he wasn't going to be able to easily determine whether or not the safe had figured out the travel cube at the Everything Store belonged to him. It didn't look good. Next to the row of cubes, a group of safe troopers milled about, alongside two armored transports. They didn't seem to be paying any attention to the travel cubes, however. Instead, it looked to Alibi like the store's parking lot had been turned into the safe's on-the-ground mobile command center.
Man, I do not get any breaks.
Alibi stayed hidden in the trees at the edge of the woods. He craned his neck to see if his travel cube was one of the ones still parked at the travel hub. It was, but now, of course, it was two cubes away from the safe mobile HQ unit. Alibi saw two Sekta with the safe troopers.
They're down here?
It seemed the Greater Ta now had a presence on Earth.
Not good.
Alibi stayed in his tree cover and watched, waiting for a chance to sneak up to his cube. After a few hours, the day began to fade. As early dusk set in, Alibi sighed. He'd watched the place all afternoon. The safe troopers and Sekta hadn't budged. Their ships were still up over the mountain, scanning for him, though he thought his new friend, the Archmage, might still be creating some kind of diversion.
I can feel something going on. Can't sense what it is.
There's no telling how much longer they'll be distracted.
Gotta move.
Alibi left the trees and sauntered down the road, trying to think himself invisible and innocent.
Nothing to see here.
He walked up to his travel cube with his head low and turned away, ignoring the Sekta standing next to it. He didn't know what else to do. Alibi didn't know if they needed to eat or go to the bathroom, but this one didn't seem to. The same one had been standing there all day. The alien hissed after he'd walked past it. A translator mounted on the front of its carapace spoke to Alibi.
"What are you doing?" it asked. "Human?"
"Going home,"
Alibi said, still deliberately not looking at it. He left the phrase hanging, unfinished, and punched the access code into the door of the cube. It popped ajar with a quick breath of cool air. Alibi lifted the door fully open and climbed inside the cube. Alien? He said, completing his response as he closed the door. The Sec-Ta began toddling over towards the travel cube. Logan, now! Alibi commanded as he sat down. The cube backed out of the parking space, past the Sec-Ta. It rolled out onto the road. Alibi felt the lifters kick on, and the cube floated up, off the pavement. Then, it shot down the road at high speed, with Alibi safe inside.
1 hour to Logan Spaceport Facility, the cube informed him.
The cube would hug the old ground transport roads until it reached a main thoroughfare, where it could pop up into the transport stream and maybe string up with other cubes heading in the same direction. Alibi paid the extra for visuals, and a heads-up display appeared, showing the road around the cube. The way ahead looked relatively clear, a few other cubes zipping along with his. He toggled through the display's available views. No one following, at least not that he could see on the cube's viewer. Nothing overhead, either. Yet.
Here's hoping for a clean getaway. Don't know if I'm that lucky. Keep trying to think myself invisible. You don't see me. I'm not really here. I've tried this before. Maybe the Archmage's gift will help it work, this time.
He kept a virtual watch over his shoulder throughout the entire hour-long ride. Whatever the cause, Alibi made it to Logan and back to the rented two-man jump ship Finder contracted for him, without interference. He'd apparently left the safe and their alien friends up on the mountain, looking for him. Alibi Jones didn't truly relax, however, until he'd gotten his transpace jump point clearance and queued the jump ship up behind three commercial vessels, waiting their turns. If the safe had figured out where he was, they would have been on him by now. He started to breathe a little easier.
God damn, he let out with a sigh as the ship shifted into transpace.
The anxious knot in his chest began loosening, until the comm showed him all the messages waiting for him. From Finder.
Ah, fuck. Finder. He still knows where I am. No escaping him, not yet. Shit, given his gift, can he always find me?
The comm lit up as he exited Transpace, near the Hornet's Nest. It was Finder, trying again.
Jones, you get it?
He asked as Alibi opened the connection. Hi, good to see you too. No, it wasn't where we thought it was, Finder, he said. The one that had been there was used up a long time ago.
How do you know that? What about those readings?
I ran into the energy remnant of one of the ancient enemy, Alibi told him. That's what my readings picked up. I think it used the starseed to stay alive all this time. It was in a kind of suspended animation, waiting for something.
Are you sure it wasn't lying to you?
Yeah, Alibi said. It had no reason to. Besides, it was clearly what my readings were picking up.
Fuck! Finder shouted at him through the screen. I need you to find a fucking starseed, Jones!
He cut the connection. Well, that was perfectly reasonable, Alibi said to himself. Because, of course, it's not like I've been looking for the last 4 or 5 months. Oh, wait, I have.
And I'll hear about that, I'm sure, from Aunt Anita, after I land. Another lecture. She doesn't admit to or even see her own weaknesses. Never noticed that when I was younger. Why would I? Kids think their moms are all-powerful goddesses of life. Just have to brace myself.
Open a comm channel to the Hornet's Nest, Alibi commanded the jump ship. Let them know I'm coming home.
Chapter 13.
Krish and Emily sat across from each other at a table in the Hornet's Nest galley for their usual Monday morning working breakfast. They were missing the other two who usually took part. Alibi was still off on his latest chase after a starseed, though Emily heard from communications a short time earlier that he was on his way back to base. Anita Capituna, however, had just canceled on them on short notice.
"I don't like this," Krish said. He pushed the food around on his plate, but didn't lift his fork to eat.
"What, breakfast? Your eggs come out bad?" Emily asked.
"No," Krish said. "The general, situation. The eggs are the eggs."
"I hear ya," Emily said. "Why is he still here?"
"I think she likes him," Krish said. "They ended up getting together, you know. At least for dinner. Twice."
"Ooh," Emily said. "Doesn't she know what she's getting into?"
"I agree," Krish said. "Ooh." "Ooh?"
Hector Ruiz echoed the question as he walked in and over towards their table. "You'll never guess who's here," Emily said. "Still here."
"Someone, ooh," Hector said.
"Billy Gentry, maybe. I saw him down in the landing bay, talking to Ms. Anita. I didn't know she knew him."
Hector sat down with them at the table.
"She doesn't," Emily said. "Well,
she didn't, before," Krish said. "I think she does. Now."
"Yeah, they were extremely friendly," Hector said. "I was very surprised."
"It is a good thing Alibi is not here," Krish said. "He would be crushed to see his mother figure acting like this, with such a person."
"Is it a good thing?" Emily said. "Maybe if he was here more often, his aunt would be acting more responsibly." She frowned. "Excuse me." She left the table, heading for the door.
"She misses Alibi," Krish said conspiratorially to Hector.
"I do not," she yelled back over her shoulder as she left the galley.
"Does she?" Hector said. "I didn't know they were a thing." "They're not," Krish said. "Yet. But I see it coming, whether they do or not."
"You a matchmaker now?" Hector asked. Krish laughed.
"Far from it," Krish said. "I am just observant. I see things."
"I see," Hector said.
"So do I," Krish said. "You see?"
They laughed. "Gentry better get a move on, or he's going to bump into Alibi," Hector said. "Alibi just called in. Came out of transpace as I was landing. He'll be here soon, after he dodges some rocks."
"You are not what I expected, William," Anita said. "I'm old enough that I cut to the chase and say what I think. And you are a sexy man." The two had sparred back and forth via messages after Anita had Emily escort him back to his ship. When Anita admitted she enjoyed the repartee, Gentry invited himself to stay at the Hornet's Nest for an extra day or two, and invited Anita out to dinner. She'd internally debated what she was going to do about that, but the side of her that wasn't going to let him leave the landing bay lost. She let him out, and they'd had a nice weekend together. Anita had to admit, she'd enjoyed the insufferable man's company.
"You're a good-looking woman, Anita," Gentry said. "You surprise me. That's not easy to do. You know what power is, how to use it. And you don't fear it. That is sexy, too."
"So here we are, a couple of sexy old people," Anita said. "Maybe we should do something more about that."
"Maybe we should," Gentry said. "This is the longest I've spent with anyone, talking to anyone, in years."
He smiled.
"But no more right now. I'm supposed to be on Depot. Held up to ship, even."
He nodded at the cruiser waiting next to them.
"No need to brag," she said, joking. She smiled. "We will get together again, then."
"Count on it," he said. "Though this does complicate things with Nico. He doesn't like you, or Alibi. I think he's afraid of you, Anita. Knows how powerful you were."
Yes, he's been trying to eliminate my remaining power base ever since he got into office, she said. He's done a pretty thorough job of shutting me out. Quite an insecure little man.
Your words, not mine, Gentry said. I have to work with him.
Too bad. He's vile, she said. And not good vile, like yourself.
Is that a compliment? Gentry said.
Not too much of one, no, she said. She smiled. How nicely unexpected. And to think, you arrived with my dirt. Now you're growing on me like a weed.
You're not at all what I expected either, he said. He laughed. I shouldn't tell you this, but Constantine doesn't know how sharp and smart you are. Well, he doesn't seem to, based on how he's described you to me in the past. You've got an advantage on him in that. He underestimates you. He doesn't know his enemy.
And yet he's still afraid of me, she said. As I say, an insecure little man. And your political bedfellow.
I don't want to sleep with him, Gentry joked, suggestive.
Am I supposed to blush? Anita asked. Don't get ahead of yourself, Billy.
Am I getting ahead of myself? He asked, knowing the answer. No goodbye kiss, then.
Don't get ahead of yourself, she repeated. She grinned. I'm not much of a kisser, or a hugger either. And a handshake? Now? I don't think so. So I'll just nod, and you can go.
Can I now? He laughed.
You can. You may. And you should, she said. Go.
Okay, I'll go, he said. But you're not the easiest woman to escape from, you know.
Go.
He smirked, turned, and walked over to his ship. The airlock opened. Gentry turned back before stepping in.
Hey, you're watching me go, he said. That's cute, almost romantic. Go, William.
Anita couldn't keep her straight face any longer. A laugh ripped out.
Damn it, she said, laughing. Get out of here.
Okay, I'm gone, Gentry said. For now.
He ducked into the ship's airlock, and the doors slid shut behind him.
I did not see that coming, she said to herself. Anita smiled and began the walk back to her arboretum.
That was Chapter 14 of The Starseeds of Earth, and we heard Chapter 13 as well, on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Yeah, Anita and Gentry hooking up. I don't know, I didn't really see that coming. It wasn't a part of my plan when I was putting the book together, but the characters just kind of drew together, and I was like, I'm going to let that happen. It's kind of fun. And Alibi getting away. Getting off of Earth, trying to get out of there, and get home to the Hornet's Nest. So, he's on his way home. And we'll check in with Chapter 15 on the next episode. Again, as I was mentioning, if you're looking for gifts that are supporting small business or independent artists, you could pick up one of my paperbacks, like The Adventures of Alibi Jones Chronological Omnibus I released earlier this year, the beginning of summer. Or the 15th anniversary edition Vatican Assassin that came out just about a year ago now. They're available in paperback pretty much anywhere you can get paperbacks. And you know they'll be unique gifts many people won't be able to get their hands on. And you may turn them on to stories they enjoy. At least I hope so. I also have calendars. There is the stunning beauty of the Champlain Valley, Vermont Views. There's Ancient Stone Mysteries of New England, Ancient Vermont, and Exploring Ancient America. All four feature a set of 12 photos of mine and descriptions that I've written, telling you about each feature. They're just about $20 a piece, $19.95 each. And again, you can find out more about the books and the calendars at glowinthedarkradio.com.
And that is all for this week's episode. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2021 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.